B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
All right, 4 o'clock hour. Mike Missinelli Show, 4 o'clock hour. Brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at landisbc.com. Tim McManus will join us in 8 minutes with his training camp report for the day. In the meantime, we're obsessing over the Phillies, their lineup tonight. It is our old friend Cole Hamels back against Aaron Nola. And so they made a tinker in the Phillies rotation because it looks like Arrieta is going to undergo surgery and he will be done for the season. So that leaves their rotation, I guess, in this order. It goes Nola, Velasquez, Smiley, Vargas, Eflin. Give me a bat. Seriously? They're going to contend for this wild card with that? After Nola, what they're trying out?
Velasquez has shown me a little something. And then that's it.
Come on, man.
Velasquez has shown me a little something.
You are easily converted. You are. You're about the most easily converted dude that I've ever known.
With baseball, I am. It's so many games, I just ride the wave. I don't stay in the middle at all with baseball. It's every day I'm a new person. Whoa. If they win tonight, I might be back in on the wild card.
Oh, so Roman Quinn's Vince Coleman for you.
Roman, I think you've been a little disrespectful.
Come on. 610-632-0975. Two lines are open. Let's go to Todd and Yardley. Todd, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Todd.
Yes, Mike.
What's up, Todd?
Arrieta is done for the season?
Yes, looks that way.
Oh, my God. I think Gabe pushed it too much with the elbow.
He pushed him too much?
I mean, he can only go so far with the elbow, and you never know when it can go.
Well, yeah, but it's not like he had replacements, so if the guy wanted to pitch and he said it was just a matter of putting up with pain, you get somebody to eat up 4 innings. It's better than not eating up 4 innings.
I understand what you're saying, but I was a little leery, and I talked to a buddy of mine. I said, he might be pushing, and if he hears a...
No, it was Arrieta wanted to pitch. It's not like they pushed him.
Oh, it was his call. I thought it was Gabe's call.
No. Arrieta gave them the okay that he wanted to pitch.
You do a good job. You do a good job, Mike.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate that.
And I've called more than once.
Well, fantastic, Todd. Keep calling, bud.
And Natalie is absolutely gorgeous.
Yes, Todd. How old of a man are you?
That's not true.
Oh, 62.
You're 60. I gotta be honest with you. I haven't come across many 62-year-old guys named Todd. That's why I asked.
And Todd does a wonderful.
It's an unusual name for a 62-year-old guy, Todd, isn't it?
Todd does a wonderful job in relief for you when
yes,
you're not.
Yes,
around.
He does, Todd.
And
what's the rest of your day?
That's not true.
What's the rest of your day like, Todd? What's up? What's on the agenda?
I have the day off today from
day
work.
Off? Where do you work?
I work at CVS in Yardley.
CVS in Yardley?
I've been there 24 years.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Awesome. You're not mixing the drugs back there, are you?
No, all I'm right. not. No, I'm not a pharmacist. I let the pros do it.
All right. Well, listen, Todd, don't be a stranger.
Sweet. He is absolute, sweet man, absolutely the oldest Todd in America.
Yeah, the Todd thing threw me off a little bit.
The oldest Todd.
I thought he sounded like an older guy. I've never known an older Todd.
The second youngest Todd is 40. So literally 20 years younger.
I'm sorry.
The second youngest Todd in America is 40.
Have you ever come across an older gentleman named Todd?
No.
Right.
I don't really know many Todds to begin with.
Well, I know some Todds.
Todd is a kind of obscure name in general.
Has it ever been short for anything?
But like 62 years ago when they named them, I don't know if Todd was that prevalent.
No way.
It's a family.
Just like the oldest Justin is 40 years old. There's no Justin name. There's no 60-year-old Justin. Justin was the Dakota of that
wrong.
Generation.
There could be plenty of elderly gentlemen named Todd. It struck me funny.
Maybe it's like a family name. I always wondered if it was short for something
originally.
Be a family
name. That would be going further back in time.
Yeah.
There would be fewer Todds. How's it a family name?
Harry Callis' son Todd is 53. So
see?
So that's 9 years younger. He is still the OG Todd on Earth.
All right. It's Greg in Bethlehem. Greg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Greg?
The Phillies made that opposing pitcher last night look like a Cy Young candidate. I can't understand.
Well, he's a pretty good pitcher, though. I mean, he's struck out a lot of guys in his career.
Yeah, I mean, it was frustrating because it was like they were sitting on the off-speed stuff, and the guy would groove a fastball, and they'd just stand there.
Quintana's a pretty crafty pitcher. I mean, he's not a stiff.
No, it just seems like they need to sit on a pitch they can hit and let the other stuff go.
I agree with you. Listen, here's my main philosophy as a hitter. If you get a first pitch fastball, swing, rip it. And if he gives you, if he gives you a curveball and you take it and it's a strike, salute. You're 0-1.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you gotta wait for the pitch that looks like it's in your zone and let it rip.
Exactly. I'm convincing myself. It's first pitch fastball, I'm swinging. Now, sometimes it's hard to pull a trigger and you're on your back heel because you don't know if it's going to be a fastball or not. But if you recognize fastball right away, rip.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're sitting on these off speed things. And there's no way they can catch up with the fastball then.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what they're doing, to be honest with you. I think maybe Charlie will figure out what's in their head. The one thing Charlie's going to change is be aggressive. Don't be selective aggressive. Be aggressive.
Yeah, I think that'll make his job a little easier.
Do damage with fastballs. That's what you got to be successful. You got to hit fastballs.
Yeah.
You know, occasionally somebody's going to hang a curve and you're going to rip it. But you got to hit a fastball.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's so simple. It's basic. I don't know what they're looking for.
It's going to be very difficult to hit a good curveball. So it's when you get a fastball, rip. No matter where that is, it's around the strike zone. You can always put a ball in play no matter where that fastball is, unless it's a pinpoint corner, outside corner low.
Sure. Yeah, you got to let it go.
All right, Greg, you want to play a little general knowledge?
Sure.
All right. Baseball teams by clue. Baseball team names by clue. The clue is courageous ones. What team am I looking for?
Oh.
Courageous ones.
Yeah. Oh, man.
That's a violation.
Sorry, bro. That would be the Braves. Let's go to Howard in Lancaster. Howard, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Howard.
Yeah, Mike. How
what's
you
up,
doing?
Buddy? How you doing?
First time caller.
Thank you.
Hey, I was just wondering what you think about bringing Kaepernick in as a backup. We're all worried about Carson Wentz going down. I mean, it wouldn't cost that much, would it?
No. We've talked about this a couple of days ago.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. You must not have been listening to that show. But I am for it. Certainly, if Cody Kessler gets hurt, I am for it. And I'm for it now. But they can also convince me that they could sign a veteran guy. You know, it doesn't have to be Kaepernick. I believe they needed to sign another guy. So why shouldn't it be Kaepernick? That's what I say.
Me too. I mean, we took a chance on Mike Vick, right?
Yes. The thing is, Vic didn't play in a couple of years either, right? He served time. So, like, this notion that, well, he hadn't played in 2 years. Well, come on. You know, you get back in the swing of things, you get back to working out, taking snaps, it's not going to kill you. You're not going to forget how to play football.
Right. So why not bring him in, give him a chance?
Yes. But they're not going to do it.
Well, the thing is, we're always known as being the ones that threw snowballs at Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. Now we can be known as the forgiving franchise.
Yeah, there'd be a lot of people who would be against that signing, though. You'd have to deal with that originally, and then it would dissipate because he would be a backup.
Okay.
All right, you want a general knowledge question, bro?
No.
All right. Well, it's okay. It's time to talk to McManus anyway. Tim, with a big story on Sidney Jones today. And there's another story about Carson Wentz being erratic and struggling recently. I got to talk to my man who covers the Eagles for ESPN.com. He is brought to us by Training Camp. That's right. Get certified, IT certified, fast at Training Camp. Check them out online at trainingcamp.com. Timmy, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, Mike. What's going on with you?
Well, tell me what happened today in practice. First of all, we always go over what the highlights of today's camp were, and not much going on because they're done hitting, right? So, what went on today?
That's right, and they had a flight to Jacksonville as well. So it was just a walkthrough for the Eagles today. No access for the media, but just some light stuff in preparation for the Jaguars. And then they hopped on the plane, and they're en route to Jacksonville to go see their old friend.
All right, so, and their old friend won't be playing, of course.
Right.
So,
right.
Really a big reason to tune into this beauty. But let's talk about, first of all, let's talk about Wentz. And a story that's out there saying that he's had recent struggles. Now, have you seen these struggles? And what is your opinion about whether he needs to play in the preseason because of these struggles?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't necessarily classify it as struggles. I certainly understand, you know, the way that it's being viewed, and that, you know, Wentz hasn't been, like, you know, hitting on the money all the time. There's been some throws that have been high or inconsistent, and I think that has shown itself more so over the last couple practices. There's a couple kind of caveats, though, I think that we need to throw in there. One is, like, the last practice 2 days ago, as an example, they were working a lot on goal line drills, both coming in from the red zone and also going out, like operating from the 1 yard line. And as we've established, Peterson has set a certain type of intensity to these practices where it's first team versus first team, and there's not a whole lot of give, and the offense is being put in some pretty tight quarters and tough situations. And I think that can partially explain what we're seeing out of Wentz. There's not a whole lot of gimmies. So, like, when he's operating out of his end zone and DeSean Jackson is streaking down the right side, you know, and Wentz fires it with the rush coming in on him and it sails, you know, a few yards over Jackson, and Jackson comes over and talks to Peterson about it, then goes over and talks to Wentz about it. Like, it shows you that there's, like, a little bit of a learning curve, but it also shows you that the intensity is, as the way they describe it, as close to a game setting as you can get without actually hitting. And so the alarm bells aren't going off for me. Like, Wentz is operating generally from the pocket. We know that's not all of his game. I think that he's working through some things. And I think there's also been a lot of money throws kind of thrown in with some of the more inconsistencies that we've seen of late.
All right, so you don't think that this is going to influence the coaching staff to want to get him out there in preseason games?
No, not necessarily. And one of the things that Wentz did say yesterday is that he thinks that Peterson is going off of what he's seeing in practice, and then to make a determination whether he's going to play some of the ones in the preseason. So, I'm not seeing a struggling Wentz. That's not what my eyes are picking up on. I'm seeing a defense that has a pretty good bead at this point on what the offense is doing, and vice versa. And I'm seeing some good Wentz mixed in with some not so good Wentz. So it's something to note, but I don't know something to be concerned with.
All right, now you are obviously high on Sidney Jones. According to your story, he's really changed as a player, and he's a more confident player, which is good news for Eagle fans because it looks like he will start the season at cornerback. Very interesting parts of this story. Number one was that he was so insecure about his physicality, he was wearing a lifting belt to do 135-pound squats, which you do in your sleep, by the way. The 135-pound squat without
the belt.
Exactly. And then later that he trained with this guy named Whitehead, and he changed the way what his stride was, and it's supposedly healthier for his legs. Expanding on that a little bit.
Yeah, so the first anecdote is definitely one that jumped out to me, where Stephen Whitehead, who is Alshon Jeffrey's trainer, and like his group also trains Fletcher Cox, J.J.R. Sega-Whiteside, like a number of Eagles, and he was doing an internship with the Eagles during the offseason, during OTAs, and he found Jones alone in the weight room, as you said, with a weightlifting belt around him to do 135-pound squats, and immediately, because Whitehead's background, he used to play the game, and all the way up to like the Arena League, and he had had seven different surgeries over the course of his football career. So he recognized immediately this as like a mental scar, that this was a player that was scared to get hurt, and the belt was kind of an outward sign of that. So he started working with him and kind of worked on the physiological and psychological level with Jones to get him start believing in his body more, and also to change the way he runs, which is a pretty dramatic thing to do to a pro athlete, but it's something that Whitehead has done in the past, including with Alshon Jeffrey. And the reason you do it is because you promote a style that can help prevent soft tissue injuries by having, you know, better kind of functioning, a better functioning running style. So all this has helped put Jones in a place where he hasn't had any kind of relapses physically. He's practiced every day. He's back to kind of believing in his body and what it can do. And you can kind of see that just in his body language and in his play. I mean, he's been sharp on the field. He's intercepted Wentz multiple times this summer. He's made other plays on the ball and has seemingly turned a corner. It's all with the fact of, yes, he's still got to prove it come regular season. But I think that it's been a positive development for Jim.
So what kind of time will he see in this game? What kind of time will they give their cornerbacks here? Obviously, Darby's not ready to play yet, and Jones looks like he'd be a starter. And as a starter, I assume he won't play that long.
Yeah, so the first game he was in there along with Avante Maddox for just the series, and I would think that that would expand a little bit. I still don't think the first team's going to get a heavy dose, but one thing that Brandon Graham did say is that the defensive players have been told that more of the guys are going to get into this game, and so it might not be the full complement of defensive starters, but I think you're going to see more guys added to the mix, and you would think some expanded time for guys like Jones, who I think needs the work.
All right.
That needs to get that confidence in game. So, yeah, so maybe he expands to, it still probably won't be like more than a quarter, but more time for those guys.
What about on offense? Who will not play that, you know, we're counting on being starters?
Well, so Lane Johnson would probably be the main guy, and obviously Brandon Brooks, who is still working back from his Achilles injury, which means that the right side of the line, at least as it was in practice, was Big V at right guard and Jordan Mailata at right tackle. I think that would be one of the influencers as to whether Wentz is on the field or not. Do you really want that lineup protecting your franchise quarterback? So that's one guy that you won't necessarily see. And I'm not really anticipating seeing much out of the first team in this game either. And so that would mean, you know, the DeSean Jacksons, now Sean Jeffries and Jason Peters, those guys. I mean, I'd be, at this point, I'm kind of thinking that the first team's not going to show itself very much on Thursday.
But they will play a little bit, you think?
No, I mean, those guys, I would probably lean no.
Okay.
Towards those guys.
All right, now what about the quarterback situation? Like two quarterbacks now, will they split halves, or what do you think the plan is there?
I think that's right. I think that's one of the only options they have is to roll with Kessler and a little bit of Thorson, who obviously needs some work. And the way that it's been going during training camp now is where the third team is hardly getting any reps. And that's because I think Peterson's trying to maximize what they have on the field in training camp so they don't have to expose these guys to more dangerous settings in preseason play. And so, I think Thorson's going to get a lot of work. He obviously needs it. And the same thing for Kessler, who is still brand new in this system and at least temporarily thrust into a pretty important role. So I think Peterson's going to get those guys about equal work.
All right. Well, I can't wait for this one.
I know you're.
I'm piped for this one, bro.
I can tell, man.
Yes.
I can tell.
All right, man.
Maybe a little Miles Sanders anyway for your viewing.
So Miles will play a lot?
I think so. I think he'll play.
All right. That's worth it, then. All right, Timmy. Have a good trip, and we will talk to you.
All right, my friend, I appreciate it.
There he is, Tim McManus, brought to us by Training Camp. Get IT certified fast at Training Camp, online at trainingcamp.com. Yeah, I wanted to be treated at least a little Falsey against the old squad would have been a hook for this game.
Yeah, they got to be careful, though, same as the Eagles, because they don't have a backup.
Who's their backup?
Is Bortles still there? I don't even know who their backup is, but they paid him a lot of money. They got to protect him. And I know everybody thinks that Foles is invincible and Wentz is fragile. Foles has never played 16 games. So they got to protect him.
Okay.
They don't have a choice.
I got to find out who this backup is. It's a good question about Bortles. I didn't hear that he wouldn't be there. So let's see what we got here. Quarterback is no, he's not there.
I have no idea where
Gardner.
Oh, Minshew. Yeah, from Washington State.
And then Tanner Lee.
Don't know Tanner Lee.
And Alex Magoo.
Don't know him either. But I do know Minshew. I do know Minshew.
That's not his name.
It's Magoo.
It's Magoo.
Magooga. That's Magoo.
Oh, I thought you meant like as in Mister.
Well,
play like Mr. Magoo.
Mr. Magoo was spelled G-O-O, but I'm sure that like if you it was anglicized. I think Mr.
Minshew lost his helmet.
I think it was anglicized.
Minshew lost his helmet in the last game.
He did?
He caught his helmet stone knocked off his head.
Oh, that was him.
That was him. That was Gardner Minshew.
He does play like Mr. Magoo then.
got his head clean ripped off.
Tanner Lee's from Nebraska, and Alex Magoo is from Florida International.
That's why I don't know him. Okay.
All right, let's take a break. 610-622-0975. There's one line, I think. Yeah, one line's open. Mike Missinelli Show right here at 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
Twitter poll update with Natalie Eggenoff, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Now, what do you got with the numbers?
Alrighty, today's poll, Mike, has over 2,100 votes on it. Are you concerned about Carson struggling in camp? 20% say yes, 80% say no.
All right, 80% say no. And I'm mildly concerned. No, actually, I was more concerned earlier in the show, and it's been lessened after I talked to McManus.
Yeah, I do like that. How he's running practice, though. It's a way to keep him healthy, but to put him in bad spots. Because if you're on your own 1 yard line, the ball might come out quicker than you want it to. And you might not, he probably doesn't have enough communication yet especially the new receivers about where he wants them to be.
Yeah.
So that's stuff you work out in practice.
All right. Yesterday, I said that when Charlie got here, the best thing you could say was that he was not interested in managing. That doesn't mean that he's not interested in managing. It just means that it's a good thing to say so Kaplan doesn't get totally spooked. And so today, in meeting with the press, that's exactly what he said. He said, I'm not interested in managing. I'll tell you that right now. Well, I'll tell you this right now. If John Middleton decides that he wants Charlie Manuel as the manager, guess what's going to happen at the end of the year? Let's go back to the phone. Let's talk to Najee in Chester. Najee, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Mikey Miss.
What's up, Naj?
Oh, man, chilling, man. Hey, I don't like this lineup, man. I'm so over the Phillies, man. I don't understand it. I don't know what they thought, man.
Well, you got Reese in a leadoff hole, and just like Bryce last night, the manager likes to get guys who are slumping more at-bats in hopes that they come out of the slump. So that means two ways you can look at it. You can get down on the guy and drop him in the lineup, and you can give him a day rest, or you can do this. Yeah, I guarantee you they're not stealing any base if he gets on. He walks, he's not stealing.
Hell, I think Gabe's more concerned about his looks than the team, man.
Nah, Gabe's trying. He just has a very unorthodox way of trying.
he's too analytical, man.
I can't get mad at him for putting Reese Hoskins in the leadoff hole. If his main goal, and it should be, is to get one of his main sluggers going again. I don't know how you do that except to get more at bats.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I don't know. I'm over the Phillies right now.
You're over them?
Yeah, I'm over them.
Well, they're still in it technically, but I can see why you'd be over them. They don't give you any fizz.
I guess
no fizz.
Todd try and call us fair weather fans. That's what I am.
Yeah, no fizz. Although, my man Segura, since I said I've never seen him make a play up the middle, has made two plays, including a dazzler last night, Tyrone.
He looks good.
How about that Gene? All right, man, you want a general knowledge question?
Yeah.
General knowledge category. What war was described as the war to end all wars?
Desert Storm?
Desert Storm would be incorrect. A little further back than Desert Storm. WW1.
Oh, I knew that.
Yes.
Yeah, Natalie knew it.
Turned out not to be the war that ended all wars.
Did not. There was a second.
That's correct. Andrew in Phoenixville, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Andrew.
Mike, I got to say, Mike, I am so concerned about the future with Quintech. Mike, did you hear him yesterday talking about how they didn't sit on their hands and they went out and got starting pitching at the deadline?
Well, they got starting pitching. He didn't say they got good starting pitching.
Like, this guy, I'm so worried about the future, Mike. The fact that they ran Pavetta and all those boys out there again this year, this guy has no clue, Mike.
What can I tell you? Listen, it was totally misguided of them to think that guys that hadn't performed and have shown a penchant for not performing and being so up and down and inconsistent, all of a sudden we're going to turn consistent. Like, I don't know where that thought process comes from.
And Mike, how about our home run hitter, Gene Segura, batting cleanup? Are you kidding me?
Well, I mean, they're just fiddle-faddling right now to try to get a couple guys going.
Can we actually try? They have the worst, play discipline of any team I've ever seen, Mike. Scotty Jetpacks is swinging the balls. He would have had to jump to it last night, Mike.
Jetpacks was 0-for-11 before he got that knock last night. And then he messed it up.
I need football tomorrow, Mike. I can't take no more, Mike. And like you said, the bullpen.
You got preseason football tomorrow. You got Cody Kessler. Come on, man.
Mike, did you honestly think it's going to get better next year?
Cody Kessler's like Jason Vargas.
Exactly.
It's like you're watching Jason Vargas start a game. It's like Cody Kessler starting a game.
Mike, but contacting these guys can play. That's the scary part, Mike.
Yeah. Well, here's the best I will tell you. Charlie Manuel's in the dugout. He's going to try to change the way they approach hitting. They're only two games out of the wild card spot.
I get it.
That's the most optimistic spin I get.
One more question for you, Mike. Do you think Kepler's actually going to listen to what Charlie has to say?
Yeah, Charlie's going to have control of the hitters. Kepler's not going to Kepler's going to make the lineup manage the team, but Charlie, just like Maley, he didn't mess with Maley's approach.
Charlie's
not going to mess with Charlie.
The lineup for tonight and say, what is this?
Yeah, that's why he put this lineup up before Charlie. Charlie didn't get his cup on before he put that lineup up.
All right, Mike, have a good night, bro.
All right, man. Charlie had one red sock on, and that lineup was already sent to MLB. Well, listen, where would you put Rhys Hoskins? What would you do with him?
Me?
Yeah. Doesn't suit him right now.
I'd have left him in a two-hole.
Two-hole?
And I left Bryce up there. Or I would have put Realmuto leading off and put him in a two-hole and have Bryce. That's what I would have done. There it is.
Well, Realmuto's driving in runs, though.
Yeah, but you want
to get this guy at bats, right? So you can't be. You want to make sure he hits in the first inning. So whether he's hitting 2, 3, or 1, it's the same thing.
And what Charlie needs to do is first pitch, just like Jimmy Rollins. If the first pitch is a strike, try to hit a home run. I'm saying if it's a fastball first pitch, don't go up there looking to take like a conventional leadoff hitter. Go up there looking to swing.
Yeah, well, Rhys takes pitches. Yeah, that's what he does.
But I need him to break his brain, shake it up for a week, and then go back to his other approach.
I get you. Let's go, Terry on a cell. Terry, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Terry.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
How are you, buddy?
Gabe Kapler. This guy doesn't have a clue. I mean, why would you hit Rhys Hoskins first?
Trying to get him more at-bats.
No. You got to hit him 7th or 8th. Take the pressure off of him. Take the pressure.
Well, there's two schools of thought. One is you put him down in the lineup. The other is you get him most at-bats you can get him. I don't have a problem with getting him the most at-bat. I really don't. What's it going to hurt if he's the leadoff hitter? What's it going to hurt?
Well, it's not going to hurt that much, but he's in such a big slump.
Well, how do you get a guy out of a slump?
He's putting too much pressure on himself.
You get a guy out of a slump by giving him at bats.
Moving down.
I really don't have a problem with it. It's like a shooter who's in a slump. You tell him to keep shooting. So a guy's in a slump, you get him more at bats.
Well, at this point, he just looks so lost. I just don't.
He does, and now he's going to get maybe five opportunities to not be lost.
So instead of striking out four times, he's going to strike out five.
Well, that could possibly happen. Cole Hamels is very crafty. They have a book on what's getting him out now, and I assume Cole can execute that. So it might be a bleak night for him. But it could be one of those nights where he gets loose and hits a bomb.
Well, that could be. But and Realmuto hitting second, batting fourth. He's the hottest guy right now.
You don't like Segura in that four hole?
No.
I don't know why Segura's in the four hole. Make Segura a two hitter. I mean, what's it?
Right.
But then you clog up the bases with Reese, so you don't have a fast guy hitting two.
Exactly.
I don't know. it's a dartboard lineup.
I know.
All right, man. Listen, do you want a general knowledge question?
Sure, why not?
Here we go. Famous movie scenes. I describe the scene. You give me the movie. Police detective drops his coffee mug. One shattered fragment says, Kobayashi. And the detective knows he's been fooled.
Oh, God. I have no idea.
Sorry. That would be the usual suspects. And the detective who got fooled was Sonny from the Bronx Tale. But what was his name in the movie?
I don't remember.
Agent Kulyan.
There it is.
610-632-0975 back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. The Fanatic.
Woo! On Twitter, you got an older Todd, Tyrone.
How old?
I found a 71-year-old Todd.
Wow.
That's what we got on Twitter. Todd Rundgren.
How old is he?
Oh, he's a musician, right?
He's from Upper Darby, too.
Really?
Yes. Todd Rundgren, famous musician.
Yes. That means
71.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Todd Rundgren.
Huh. I wonder if that's a stage name. I'm going to have to Wikipedia.
No, his name's Todd Harry Rundgren.
71-year-old named Todd.
Yep.
Man, this is weird. Next time I'll find out.
Upper Darby's own.
My mom said Todd can be short for Thaddeus. And this other guy said his friend's name is Townsend and he goes by Todd.
How old is he?
Who?
Townsend?
He's 52.
Mm-hmm. He's
under the threshold.
He's under the threshold.
I guess. But still.
Todd Rundgren, I guarantee you, this is the oldest Todd we're going to find.
He's got to be. So now we have to find the oldest Justin, who I believe will be 40. I don't think there's a Justin over the age of 40.
All right, we'll see. Rundgren started out in a band. The song was... Hello, it's me. Dun, dun, dun. I thought about it for a long time.
Yes.
All right. All right, what was the band? Naz.
Oh, I would have.
It
never,
was Naz.
I never knew that. I just know the song. I wouldn't have known the band.
All right, let's go to Doobie and Ambler. Doobie, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Doobie.
Yo,
what's up, dude? What's up, man?
Hey, Mr. Different Tissue, man. How you doing?
Good.
All right. Hey, yo. Number one, I want to ask you a quick question. You just got the ball Tim and Madden's on, right?
Yes.
I don't know if I missed it. Did you talk about Jordan Howard?
No.
You got any word about him, man? How he look or anything? What's going on with him?
No.
You got no word?
Nah, veteran player. He's fine. You don't have to bruise him up. He's going to be the guy who runs between the tackles, so you don't need him all banged up. You know exactly what he's going to give you.
I don't know. All right. And then number two,
Bryce Harper right now. You go on ESPN on the MLB page. First thing they say is that Bryce Harper's a bust.
Is that what they say on the where? Where they?
Like if you go on.
Oh, they say he's not a bust. They said he's not a bust.
If he's not a bust. Now, I'm just thinking that, you know, the Phillies has done this year anyway. They had a lot of stuff to happen, number one. But I just think he needs one good year to, like, you know, fill us out, and then next year he's going to be going back.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think this is a transitional year. At the end of the year, it's not going to be terrible. He's going to end up probably with 30 home runs and 100, at least 100 RBIs. And his numbers with runners in scoring position are going to be good. He's going to have a lot of doubles. His on-base percentage is going to be good. So, like, how terrible of a year was it? I know we expected 40 home runs,
right.
And that's why we're thinking it's disappointing. But he's the least of my worries on this team. Least.
Yeah, like, you don't got no pitching. So, like, I think he's young. I think next year, even year before that, I mean, year after that, he's going to be back to getting, like, you know, the 4D and everything like that. So I'm not even sweating that.
I agree with you, Doobie. All right,
No. I was going to say if I get a general knowledge.
Yeah, general knowledge, baseball team by name quiz.
All right,
so if I go, the clue is Space Explorers. What team am I looking for?
Astros?
Yes! Boom, the Astros. Actually, that wasn't too, that was fairly difficult, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the hardest one so far.
Yeah. All right. Let's get Chuck in North Carolina in here. What's up, Chuckles?
What's going on, everybody?
How you doing, Chuck?
You know, just trying to shake the babies and kiss the hands. That's all I do. Shake babies and kiss hands.
Well, that's why you're the mayor of, what is that town?
The great Hereford, North Carolina.
Hereford. The mayor of Hereford.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, I need to let the producer know I'm not going to be able to come sit in on your show at 2 o'clock on Friday. I've had an unexpected event happen.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
my 14-year-old son is a freshman, and he decided to work really hard at football, and they named him the starting nose tackle for the varsity team in his first game, August 23rd.
Man, that is awesome.
He's a freshman. The only freshman on the team that is actually a starter on the varsity team. So it's a pretty big step for him, and I can't miss it. So I had to have a good excuse, and I hope that's a good enough one. I'm still coming to FanFest.
We're glad to see you at FanFest, Chuck.
We're going to leave at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock that night, Friday night. I'm going to drive through the night, get there at 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. We'll get a little bit of rest, and I'm going to be at FanFest like I promised I would be. It's just a little bit of a hiccup, but I'm still going to be there.
That's all right. No problem. We'll see you anyway.
Okay, so the Eagles. I'm worried. I mean, I'm not worried, but why, 2 weeks ago, Carson Wentz is 5-for-5, 6-for-6. He's lighting it up, and now all of a sudden they come out with a report that he's not doing good. I'm confused, Mike.
Well, there was a report that he's been a little erratic and he struggled this week, but our own Tim McManus said that, it's very minor. It's a minor thing that he's also looked really good at times, and he's missed a couple of receivers, but it's nothing to be alarmed about.
Okay, I'm going to say something after this, I'm just, with him, could they be trying new plays and maybe he's just trying out new things, new patterns, new distance, you know what I'm saying?
Who knows? Maybe he's hit a wall. It's like they've been at it for a while now. Maybe he's bored and that's causing him to throw a couple balls offline. I'm not worried. Listen, we'll bubble wrap it and unveil him week one.
All right. Now, look, I don't get to talk about baseball with anybody. I just don't. So I do have a question for you, and I know you'll answer truthfully.
Go ahead.
If Ronald Acuna can do 40-40 and keep tearing it up like he is, do you think he has a chance to win the MVP?
Acuna?
Over Bellinger?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's going to be in the running.
Because 40-40 hasn't been done since Alfonso Soriano.
He's certainly a candidate. I mean, who are the top candidates, Tyrone? Right now, who's
behind Bellinger and Yelich?
Oh, okay.
He's not going to win. He's not going to win the MVP.
Bellinger and Yelich.
He's having a great year, but he's not going to win the MVP.
I forgot about those two guys. So yesterday, last night, we were talking about Varsity Blues. It happened to be on yesterday.
It was on?
Yeah.
Really?
It was on last night. I caught it again. Two things I learned.
Okay.
One, the Thunderstruck, when they play Thunderstruck, it's the game that they get pummeled. The game after they went out all night to the strip club.
Oh, okay.
And Kilmer lit him up in the locker room. I hope it was fun. Oh, Billy Bob, gonna cry? Get out of my sight.
Mean the Billy Bob All movie.
The other thing I learned that I never noticed before. When they have the meltdown with Kilmer in the locker room at halftime where he wanted to put the needle in Wendell and they revolted and he winds up walking out and down a lonely corridor, where are the assistant coaches in the second half? How come Lance Harbor has to coach the team with Mox calling plays? Where'd the assistant coaches go? They had eight on the sidelines the whole show.
You know what? I guess in a deleted scene, that's a good
found
point.
It.
There's no assistants.
No assistants. They must have said, you know what? You were co-signing this. You get out too. But they never showed that.
They never show it.
Now that you're bringing it up.
It was just Kilmer, the lonely walk into his office, realizing that his whole life has been a fraud.
Let's go.
Because he hasn't cemented any social relationships.
It's a nice analysis.
Thank you. 5 o'clock hour is ahead. 610-632-0975. Couple lines open. Now's a good time to get in. Back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.